Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So a new super PAC with a Facebook page and probably a lot of money popping up today. Hundreds, they're saying, according to Reuters, hundreds of officials who worked for President George W. Bush, they have begun 43 alumni for Biden. Evidently, a bunch of these Republicans not happy with Donald Trump, and they are coming together to, well, raise some money and have a Facebook page. And also maybe try and reclaim the soul of their party. Anyway, here are some thoughts on the top news of the day. Our good friend Bob Ney, political analyst, former congressman from Ohio, and good friend of the program. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think? 43 alumni for Biden.
Right. Now, there's a couple of PACs worth mentioning. I think this one obviously, is one. It was reported, as you said, to Reuters. And Christopher Purcell, who worked for the communications office in the White House during the Bush administration, was the one quoted today. And he's saying about 200 former officials are, with this. And there's another PAC, and it's run by Matt Borges, who was the Ohio Republican chairman. He's been now censured and removed as what do you call it? You're not chairman anymore, but you're kind of an honorific title,
like emeritus.
Yeah, emeritus. Yeah, and they removed him by a vote. The Ohio Republican Party did this week. He had controversy during the election because his wife, I think, either told him he couldn't put a Trump sign in his yard, or she put a Clinton sign. One of the two, and that erupted here in Ohio, last time. But he has a significant PAC because they are going to be raising a lot of money and putting ads specifically, I think, on the TV side of it. And, of course, this PAC with the 43 is going to be doing a lot. The PAC run by Matt Borges is called Right Side PAC. And that's going to be a group of Republicans that feel that Donald Trump, this is a quote, is an existential threat to the country and his party, which is pretty stern.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. And, the thing is there's so much money. It seems like there's so many of these super PACs setting up. And, I look at the second quarter, the RNC and the Trump campaign brought in right. almost $300 million.
Right, right. And they have money. And I was just thinking today, look, the numbers are in Biden's favor, et cetera. Again, anybody who lets their guard down doesn't know politics. But I was also thinking that this little conspiracy part of my brain that the corporate media world, the money people are going to say, well, okay, now this is a little lopsided. Let's make it a tiny bit closer so everybody has to spend more money. That's my little conspiracy in the back part of my brain there.
I don't know that it's a conspiracy because, everyone loves a horse race. You want to keep people engaged. You want to keep people spending money. Those TV ads, not cheap. I don't see a conspiracy there.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, the corporate media world, which can, do a lot to feather its own nest.
Yeah.
But this is not a good sign for the president. Look, anybody in the Republican side that tries to say, this is okay, he's taking on the establishment, it's not okay. In the past, you would all, and look, I had this Democrats for Ney when I was running, and there were legitimate people that put their name there, right?
Right.
But it wasn't fueled with a ton of money. It was just people that wanted to do it. Union workers for Ney. I had plenty of, of course, I had union endorsements, too. So, you appreciated those. This one, though, is so much different because this isn't just where you find one or two people at the presidential level and, there for Biden. These are a lot of names and a lot of money, and there's a lot behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading through John Bolton's book, and I basically the what I'm getting from it is everything that we've been talking about for the last three and a half years is absolutely true. The guy has no interest whatsoever. Everything that he gets policy wise, he gets from Fox News, and there's not much going on between the ears. So it's not surprising to me when I saw the USA Today Suffolk poll today that said 2/3 of the country, 67%, think Biden has the right experience to be president, while only 37% think that Donald Trump, who is president, has the right experience to be president.
Yes, that, and also, I mean, look, this there's going to be debates, and I was just imagining this scenario, right, where the one candidate, you could either use name Trump or Biden, but the one candidate says, you're senile, and the other candidate says, no, you're senile. You know, so you've got these types of things that people are actually talking about because yeah. both sides are calling both candidates this, you know. But I think once people also take a look at Joe Biden, I mean, look, Joe Biden's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I worked with Joe Biden. I mean, he really is a very nice person, and that doesn't mean he's a pushover. But I think there's going to be a certain amount of anxiety. People are tired of things. They're tired of a lot of conflict. And unless Biden really kind of latches onto some things he shouldn't latch onto, I think people are going to kind of say, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I don't want to fight no more.
No, and look, the economy is, you know, we haven't had the worst part of what's coming yet. I think once the extra $600 goes away from the feds, and I think once, you know, some of the stimulus money goes away, we're going to see how painful things are going to be because the job numbers don't look good.
Well, the job numbers, you're right, they aren't good. And what's behind the job numbers is not hot at all. The private data, the White House is looking at it. June's unemployment rate's going to be released, in the morning, and they're not going to be good. And again, what's behind it, you know, is not going to be good. But I was thinking to myself today when I read that story that I will bet you that whatever the House and Senate send over to the president, he will sign it of an additional stimulus package. I bet he will. I mean, there won't be any, I'm going to, you know, hold down the budget, and I think he'll sign anything.
Oh, I think he has to. I think it's got to be something big. I think it's got to be something, really bold, and I think it's got to be something that's really going to help people.
Well, yes, and you just said the right word, people. Look, they're trying to renew the business money again, and they may and they may not. I don't know. But let's face it, with rising numbers, if things get set backwards, et cetera, et cetera, then they're going to have to do something. And Ohio, just today, is talking about 2 days a week school instead of five, which can become a catastrophic nightmare for a lot of families. And you got to, you know, you have to have some daycare, you have to have some money, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to quit your job or, you know, you have to have some resources. So I think the stimulus package, if they're smart, the system, they're going to gear it towards people, period. You know, that's where it's got to come into.
No, I said this from the start, Bob. I don't think corporate America should have gotten a dime. I think, you know, I have a fairly wealthy uncle who explains his view of business as I can give you all the money and eventually I'm going to get it back from you because you're going to buy my stuff. I'm going to get it. It's going to rise up. So my view has always been, why are we giving him money when he's going to get it from me anyway by providing the services that I need?
Well, yes, and also, like, for example, you know, some of the restaurant chains that got money, Ruth Chris, you know, and of course they reversed, but still, when they got money and they still are going to lay people off, and if we regress, you know, digress on all of this and it gets worse and the numbers jump, they're still going to, again, lay people off. So why in the first place would they get money? It's not going to trickle down through the system, and if they're in trouble, they'll hold out, and they'll either collapse or they'll come back when things get better.
Right.
But giving them money did not keep anyone employed.
No, and that's you know, this idea of the benevolent employer, I'm sorry, it's just not there.
Right.
And we don't have a system like the Germans have to ensure that they do. I mean, you know, that's the perfect world. The perfect world would have been keep everybody collecting their same paycheck, you know, the money funneling through employers, keep their health care benefits, keep all of that stuff just the way it is, and government, you know, funnel that money to those companies and have a system for that. We're just not set up for that.
Well, we're not, and you just mentioned the buzzword, too, health care. When this comes before the Supreme Court in the fall, before the election, the president had better hope that what he wants does not happen with the American, you know, Health Care Act, the ACA, being undone by the Supreme Court. If that happens, that's the straw that broke the camel's back, because people can complain all they want and they couldn't keep their health care, you know, on and on and on. Go ahead in September and lose your health care across this country and see what happens.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, you know, as Trump has been president, the ACA has gotten a lot more popular. In fact, you know, just today I saw the story that Oklahoma actually approved Medicaid expansion at the ballot box. A red state saying, you know, we want this, we need this, and they actually passed it at the ballot box.
Well, and it helps because I have a friend of mine who is very sick at this point in time, and she's in Florida. And when she called me to tell me what's going on, you know, seeking some advice, I said, well, what do you mean your medicine is going to cost you this much? And, well, they didn't buy into the expansion in Florida. Now, if she was up in Ohio, you know, her life would be a lot better, you know. But, you know, they didn't buy into the expansion. So you're seeing states now, you know, like you just mentioned, that are saying, wow, you know, we've got to do something. And again, if the whole system's turned upside down and eliminated, yeah, the bill may have had flaws. I never liked the fact it didn't go after pharmaceuticals, et cetera. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And at its face, the Senate was supposed to do something with it. The president was supposed to do something with it. They didn't. So people shouldn't hold on to false hopes that somehow magically this disappears and, you know, that we can somehow find ways to keep people on health care.
No, you're right, especially because the miracle drug that they're touting, this Remdesivir, I think it's called, they're saying like $3,200 for the treatment.
Right. Of course. There's the guts. The other thing, somebody needs to get the guts to say, no, this isn't going, we're going to have it, but we're not going to have it at $3,200 a clip.
No, I said that the other day, and I said, you know, that's just completely outrageous. And, you know, someone tweeted to me, well, you know, they have the right to set the price where they want. And I'm going, yeah, but we gave them $70 million to develop that drug. We paid for the R&D. Right. We paid for that to be developed.
Exactly. Right. And of course, you know, if the Hep C treatment, the cure, is $55,000 here, it's $500 in India because that's what the market bears. So the same pharmaceutical company sell that in India at $500. You know, I'm thankful for the Indians doing that, getting that. But over here, it's $55,000 because we let them do that. And, you know, they use our money over here to develop it and things. And then they do as they please according to the markets. Well, we should have a break, too. I don't mind another country has a break, but so should we.
No, I'm right there with you. And look, you know, as this virus, as more and more people are going to get it, and the numbers are spiking every day, you know, we're going to need those treatments. And, you know, I look at, I don't know, have you seen this thing in New York and Connecticut, New Jersey?
Yes.
How they're trying to do like travel bans? I guess what, like 16, 17 states that they're saying that if you come to New York, you have to quarantine? My first thought is, how do you enforce that?
Well, I saw it, you know, and you've got Alabama, you got California, Florida, et cetera, 16 of the states, Tennessee's in there too, Utah, Texas. And I thought to myself, okay, if you're traveling to a New York airport or a New Jersey airport, does that count? How do you do that? Do you stop cars on the way in? Do you just kind of make examples of a couple of people and then everybody gets afraid? I understand, you know, what they're saying, but how on earth would you enforce it?
Yeah, but when I looked at the numbers, they're talking like $10,000 per occurrence. I mean, these are some pretty draconian fines.
Sure.
I guess, look, you know, you want a big shock number there so people go, oh, I don't want to get caught. But, you know, do they make an example out of a couple of people?
Well, we can do some scenarios here, too. You have to travel to New York for some reason, and then you get a phone call and somebody is, you know, dying back home. What do you do? You know, do you go back? Do you do quarantine? I mean, there's a lot of scenarios there that I guess it would depend on who they fine and arrest. If they do the wrong fine on, you know, someone's grandma, then it might not go down as well.
Yeah, crazy. And finally, Colorado. What's going on in Colorado? The QAnon candidate upset the five-term incumbent.
Right. That was the candidate not supported by the president.
Right.
And she ran on a, you know, right-wing platform. And he'd been in, 10 years, right?
Yeah, he'd been around a while. And this woman was just flat-out crazy.
She just, you know, I think ran on probably voter dissatisfaction. I'm sure she blamed him for everything under the sun, that he didn't do things and that he wasn't conservative enough, and she was able to pick him off. Now, I don't know what that'll do for the general.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this this election turns out and what we end up with in 2021. But as always, I'm sure you'll be here to analyze and share your expertise with us. As always, Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney. Quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.